We've been talking about our story matters, or our testimony matters. Your story is important. Telling your story, letting your story be heard, can and will make a difference. And our key verse has been Revelation 12, verse 10 to 11. And I'm going to read that again. Read it with me. Revelation 12, 10 to 11. And it said, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accused them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they loved not their lives even to death. So they conquered the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And of course, we understand that Christ is that Lamb, and he shed his blood. And because he shed his blood, he said all power on heaven and earth was given unto him. And then he looked at his followers and he said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So we understand that his blood gives us that power and that anointing. But there's one more thing here that he says very clearly. And he says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and, everybody say, and the word of their testimony or their story. And you and I have a story. I've said this before. If you're alive and breathing, you have a story. The littlest baby in here has a story. They can't tell it yet because they don't have words, but you ask their mom. There's a story. There's a story about the pregnancy. There's a story about the birth. There is a story. You have a story. It needs to be told. I'm not going to repeat everything we've gone through, but I mentioned to you the definition of testimony is the evidence, the witness, the record, or the report. In other words, it needs to be true. It's not science fiction, okay? If you're telling your story, it's just honestly, truthfully what you've been through, what God has done for you. And when you know that, you tell it, it has this effect. And we talked over the last few weeks and we said this, listen, our story, if it's told well, will produce faith in others. Your story, if it's told well, will produce faith in you, in ourselves. And our story will defeat the enemy. And then 2 weeks ago, we made it very clear that your story has the power to bring others to Christ. And so today, we want to look at this specifically. If this is true, which it is, if our story makes that much difference, if it's that important, how do we effectively tell our story? So I want to look at that point today. How do I tell my story? Because maybe you've been here over the past few weeks and you've thought, that's good. I know I have a story, but how do I tell it? You know, is there anybody that wants to hear? And if there is, how do I tell it? So let me help you with that. If you're taking notes, there's just a few points and a couple of verses. But I want you to be able to tell your story and make a difference. So the first thing you need to do if you're going to tell your story effectively, you need to answer the question and understand, why do you want to tell it in the first place? Okay? You've got to understand, and you know what? Every message we've done up till now is the answer to why do you tell it. I just gave you the summary. The summary is the reason you want to tell it. When you tell your story, you defeat the enemy. When you tell your story, you produce faith in yourself. You build your own faith up. When you remember what he's done and you say it out loud to somebody, you get more out of it even than they do. Guaranteed. You're like, yeah, I remember when he did that. I remember when there was no finance and we prayed and God did a miracle, and you're telling them to build them up and your faith begins to build. You tell your story to produce faith in others, and you tell your story to lead others to Christ. Those are the reasons you tell it. You're bringing glory to God. You're bringing change in your life. Okay, here's some reasons not to tell your story. Don't tell your story to brag. Don't tell your story to tear someone down. That's actually called gossip. That's not going to glorify God. So you wouldn't be like, I just want to glorify God today. I want to tell my story about brother so-and-so, how he cheated me. It was terrible, but I prayed for him. No, that's not what we're talking about. Your story can make a difference. Don't tell your story to try to make people like you. Here's a funny thing. Not everybody is going to like you. You might as well just face up to that. Not everybody is going to like you. I know there's a couple of people right now like, I thought everybody liked me. Not everybody will like you, but know this. That's not the reason for telling it, so it doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, Jesus said some people might even hate you for your Christian testimony. Are you guys okay with that? Jesus was. Hey, I'm going to say this. If you're a person who thinks you have to please everybody, you'll really struggle with telling your story. Because you'll be thinking, oh, if I say something, it's not going to work. If I say something, they won't like me and you'll never tell it. So just get over it. Get over trying to make everybody like you. It's impossible. God didn't ask you to do that. Also, don't tell your testimony to try to be famous. It makes a difference how you tell it by who you're telling it to. I mean, plain and simple fact. If you're telling your story to someone who doesn't know English, you're going to have to tell it differently. You're going to need an interpreter. If you're telling your story to a 3-year-old instead of a 50-year-old, you're going to have to tell it differently. I had the opportunity here, I guess a couple weeks ago now, to share at the Christian school, and it's been quite a while since I shared there, like a couple years. And it was funny, I was sitting there waiting, and they had from grade 1 all the way to grade 12, and I was thinking to myself, it's been a long time since I've done this, and I started to get nervous. I was thinking, oh man, I got to keep these grade 1ers listening. And I actually started to get nervous, because you do it differently than what you would preaching from the pulpit. I had a good time and everything went well, but who are you telling it to? You'll need to make sure you understand. What is their age? Are they saved? If you're talking to someone who knows nothing about Christ or Christianity, you're going to tell your story in a way that they can understand. And if you're using a lot of churchy language or something they have no clue about, they won't get it, will they? Remember, if you're telling your story, you want people to get it, to receive it, to understand it. That's the point. The point isn't just to say, well, I told a story. You want them to get it. And what are they going through right now? When you're telling somebody a story, if you understand what they're going through right now, you tell it in a way that they can receive and helps them. You also choose your story to be a story that will make a difference. If somebody is in the middle of a situation where they have no finance, you may want to tell a story about when God met your need, when God brought you out of it. If someone is going through a time of fear and worry, well, then you may want to bring out a story that talks about how God gives peace that passes understanding and how he did it for you. Okay, so be aware. Everybody say aware. As they say, be aware of your surroundings. When you go out hiking in the bush or hunting, because it's hunting season, when you go out hunting, what do they teach you? Be aware of your surroundings. You don't just put your head down and look at your feet and start heading through the bush. If you do that, you will be lost very quickly. So when you're telling your story, don't just put your head down and talk nonstop. You'll be lost and the person listening will be lost. Be aware of your surroundings. In other words, be aware of who you're talking to. Know how people will receive best what you're telling them. In other words, do they read? Can they focus for a long time or a short time? Are they able to hear better with video? Do they need to interact with your story? You know what? Not everybody likes a monologue. Not everybody wants to hear the pastor go for 30 minutes straight while you can't say anything. When you're talking one-on-one with somebody, let them interact with your story. It may be the way that they hear. What about this? Maybe they want coffee or ice cream with their story, depending on their age. Or maybe a steak dinner. I know when I said that and I wrote that down, I was thinking, a steak dinner? How much do you want to reach somebody? How much do you want to see them helped? Is it worth a steak dinner? Do we care enough about the other person to give something to them? In John chapter 21, verse 24 and 25, we read this. John is finishing off his gospel, and he says, "This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things, who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." In other words, John is saying, this gospel is my testimony. The gospel of John is his testimony of what he experienced, what he saw, and then yes, he puts some input in it as he writes it. Other verses from the Old Testament. The gospels are truly testimonies of what happened. And you and I today serve Christ because somebody was willing to write down their testimony of what they experienced with Christ. And then he ends it and he said, you know what? If we wrote everything he did, there wouldn't be room to contain the books. Can I tell you something? Christ is still doing miracles today, nonstop, and the books can still be written. And there would still not be room to contain it. He has been still doing things in your life, and they need to be told because people need to meet the Savior. Just like John told his story. I wonder if John really knew the reach of what he was writing. I wonder if he had any clue how far his gospel would go. I wonder if he knew that they would put them together with a bunch of other letters and books and call them a New Testament and print them over and over and over and over. I wonder if he knew the multitudes, the millions that would come to serve Christ because he wrote his testimony down. I bet you he didn't. I bet you he was thinking for his generation, for the people in his surrounding that needed to know. What about your testimony? Do you know who it might touch? You really don't. Did you know that the Bible itself, there is over 100 million Bibles printed every year? Somebody say that, 100 million. 100 million Bibles are printed every year with John's gospel in it. The gospel of John itself is printed individually and shipped out in many different languages and places because the gospel of John, people can read it and completely understand salvation and the love of Christ. And of course, you and I have memorized John 3:16. And it is a core verse for telling anybody about Christ, for God so loved the world. But did he really know that that's what would happen? Do you know what's going to happen if you start to tell your story? What if you write it down? The gospel is reaching people. His story is being told. But you know what? There really is more than one way to tell a story. Sometimes we get stuck in the idea that we have a way that's been working and we're going to tell the story that way and we're never changing it. Because that's the way Jesus did it. And a lot of times it isn't the way Jesus did it, but you know, we're stuck in a way that this is how it is. We have to come, we have to sing three songs, we have to preach for this amount of time, we have to do this, and then we all get out. But we sometimes get stuck in an idea of this is the only way. Did you know that printable Bibles were a new thing when they came out? And now you can hear the word in many different forms. You can hear it on video. They've made movies of the Gospel of John. You can find it online. How many here have the YouVersion Bible app on their phone? You have the YouVersion? Put your hand up if you have the YouVersion Bible app. It's free, so I know we all have it. A free Bible app, completely there. Did you know the statistics on that Bible app? The most recent statistics I could find were from November 2018, so about a year ago. They had over 350 million downloads of their Bible on people's devices in every single country of the world. Another thing that you need to remember when you are telling your story, you need to pay attention to how the person or people you're talking to are receiving your story. This is really important. If you're talking to somebody you want them to hear, you want them to know, you need to understand You know, are they busy? Maybe they need to meet at a different time. Do they want to hear just a little bit of your story? Maybe they already heard enough after your first sentence and they want you to pray for them. Don't go on for half an hour. Pray for them. Maybe they want to hear more. However, remember this point and never forget it. Don't try to force the gospel on people. Never try to force the message of Christ on anybody. I'm going to say it again. Never force the gospel on somebody. Don't try to force feed people. It will make them sick and it will make them never want what you have. You say, how do you know this? I know this because a long time ago when I was about 7 years old, for lunch we would often have cheese sandwiches, hard cheese. Now, I am old enough, it might have been when cheese slice was first made or it was just when we first experienced it. But here was these sandwiches in white bread. The sandwiches were, I can still see it exactly today. They were cut kitty corner across the bread, and in the middle was cheese. And I thought it was hard cheese, but it was not. And I remember I took a bite, and it stuck to the roof of my mouth. And it tasted wrong. And I remember feeling this, feeling. Now, the thing is that our house, you had to eat whatever's put in front of you. That was one of the rules. And I remember thinking, oh, this is so bad. And I tried hard, and I was, you know, I had to eat that cheese slice sandwich. It took me about half an hour. And the problem was that was only the first half of the perfectly cut sandwich. To this day, when I see a perfectly cut cheese slice sandwich, I get a shiver. Now, I've grown up a little. I love cheese slice melted on hamburgers and stuff like that. But I can still remember it so clearly. And you think of it, how many years ago that was. And to this day, it gives me an icky feeling. Don't ever try to force somebody with the gospel. I can guarantee you there's older people who are put a wall up to the gospel because someone tried to force it on them when they weren't ready. Jesus and the disciples in Luke chapter 9, verse 52 to 56, they were planning to go to a village of the Samaritans, and Jesus sent his disciples to prepare for him. In other words, they were going to have one of those times and meetings when people got healed and lives were changed, and yet the Samaritans of that village said, we're not going to help you. We don't want you here because we know he's on his way to Jerusalem, and we don't like the Jews. We don't like those people. We got some racial issues with you guys, so get out. The disciples at this point are like, they don't want us? Like, we are with Jesus and we are like superstars. We are amazing. How could they not want us? They were young. And they said to Jesus, I think, Jesus, what we need to do is like Elijah did, and we're going to call down fire on these guys. Let's kill them all. That's what they said. They didn't want us. Let's kill them all. That's really bad Christian theology. I just want to tell you. And Jesus said, he rebuked them and he said, you don't know what manner of spirit you are. He said, I didn't come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Christ wants to save those people who don't like you. Christ wants to transform their lives, and he can't transform those if we've got a pride issue or we're thinking, kill everybody who doesn't like me. What did Jesus say? He said, I came for this, and then it just simply says, and they went to another place. When someone doesn't like you, just move on, because the chances are that there will come around another time when they're ready for you. And we do know that Jesus ministered to many in Samaria in the days after. Somebody's not ready, don't force it. You got to remember that, don't forget it. When you're telling what Jesus has done, you know that good things are going to come from it. And I want to read a story to you and kind of tell it from Luke chapter 8, verse 27 to 40. Luke chapter 8, 27 to 40. Jesus has crossed the sea over to the Gadareans. And in verse 27, it says, as Jesus was climbing out of the boat, a man who was possessed by demons came out to meet him. For a long time, he had been homeless and naked, living in the tombs outside the town. As soon as he saw Jesus, he shrieked and fell down in front of him. Then he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Please, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had already commanded the evil spirit to come out of him. The spirit had often taken control of the man. And even when he was placed under guard and put in chains and shackles, he simply broke them and rushed out into the wilderness, completely under the demon's power. Then Jesus asks what his name is, and he says, "Legion, for we're many." And then the demon said, "Oh, let us go into the pigs." And if you've heard this story, you know Jesus commanded them, "Go into the pigs." The demons went into the herd of pigs, and the herd of pigs went off the side of the cliff and drowned in the ocean, in the sea. But the man was completely set free. And verse 34 says, when the herdsmen saw it, they fled. In other words, they ran to a nearby town and surrounding countryside, spreading the news. People rushed out to see what happened, and a crowd soon gathered around Jesus. They saw the man who'd been freed from the demons. He was sitting at Jesus' feet, fully clothed, perfectly sane, and they were afraid. Then those that had seen what happened told the others how the demon-possessed man had been healed. And all the people in the region of the Gerasenes begged Jesus to go away and leave them alone, for a great wave of fear swept over them. So Jesus returned to the boat and left, crossing back to the other side of the lake. The man who'd been freed from the demons begged to go with him. But Jesus sent him home saying, "No, go back to your family and tell them everything God has done for you." So he went all through the town proclaiming the great things Jesus had done for him. And one of the other gospels, it says he went all through Decapolis, which was a group of towns, probably 10 towns. He didn't just go to his house, but he would have started at his own house. And then he went to his town, and then he went to 10 towns, the area of Decapolis, telling what Christ had done for him. This is really important. You need to see something here. They were afraid of Jesus. They didn't understand him. But the man who they knew, they were willing to hear his story. Jesus was a little bit scary, and what they had just seen and heard, they said, "I don't know." Jesus didn't call down fire on them. He simply went away, but he told the man, "You go back. They're going to hear you." Did you know your family will hear you? Did you know people that know you will hear you more than they'll hear a pastor? Because a pastor might be a little scary to someone who's not a Christian. But they know you. And if you've changed because of what Christ has done, when you tell your story, they are listening.